You are listening to The Bobcast, a golfing podcast, brought to you by The Open Times. Welcome to episode 3 of The Open Times Bobcast, now available on Apple, Spotify and Google. I'm Stephen Day. In my world, a bunker is somewhere you keep cool, and a good drive is something for a nice, sunny afternoon. Fortunately, keeping me on the right side of the golfing terminology are our experts Keith McIntyre and George Graham. Welcome back, folks.
Hi, Stevie. Hey.
Now, in a week of general elections, Brexit in general, gloom and doom, I'm assuming Bob didn't do anything to cheer us all up, did he?
Well, if you read your Open Times this week, Stevie, you'll find out all about it.
I don't have time to wait for the Open Times. Tell me about it.
Well, I think it's pretty well documented now that Bob won Rookie of the Year on the European Tour, which is, you know, just an incredible performance. It was all a wee bit nervy for a while, George, wasn't it? Because he was going head-to-head with the guy who was just behind him, this Kirk Kitayama, which is a brilliant name to say in a Scottish accent. And they were actually paired together for the first two rounds. I think there was a wee bit of nerves. They were both looking over their shoulder at what each other was doing, and neither of the two of them performed particularly well in the first two rounds. Then Kitayama actually had quite a bad second round, and they weren't paired in round three, and that seemed to free Bob up, and he just went again racing through the field. He ended up finishing 14th in the competition, but comfortably won Rookie of the Year. And so if that doesn't cheer you up in this doom and gloom world, I don't know what does. I think probably the most endearing thing that cheered me up was, I don't know if you saw George's interview afterwards on Sky, where he's just, I mean, there's just, you can see he's still a young lad, and, you know, he was talking about playing with his heroes, and he was slightly in awe of playing with guys like Rory McIlroy. But the thing I was killing myself laughing at was the interview asked him, so what do you reckon was your best shot of the year? Now, anyone that's watched Bob this year could instantly answer that, you know, no problem at all, because he hit this shot, this driver off the deck. I know I'm going to have to explain that to you later on, Stevie. Yeah, a driver off the deck on a 620-yard par 5 and hit it to 3 feet. And Bob said, I can't really remember what my best shot was. Everybody was screaming at the telly, Bob, you're driver off the deck. And eventually the interviewer actually prompted him and said, what about your driver off the deck? And the Italian, you know, oh, aye, that was probably my best shot. And it's just stuff like that that makes you realise he's a young lad starting on his journey, and he's just a humble young guy.
The interview I seen just on Sky straight after he came off the course, he looked a bit emotional, and if you've seen that, it was Keith. He was the interviewer was kind of having a wee sort of a jibe at him, saying, "You know, you've won all this money," because he's won now over €2 million in the season, and was asking, "You must surely have something in your mind that you're going to buy." And Bob wasn't really answering them, and then eventually Bob says, "Well, I don't know, you know, maybe a house, you know." And he said, but the guy said, a house. Oh, well, he says, well, actually, maybe no. He says, because I like my mum doing my washing. what I liked out of that interview, you know, he just became, it was 12th in the route to Dubai for the season, an absolutely amazing achievement. He maybe been a wee bit reticent of making big predictions about next year, but the guy says, now, you've shattered all your objectives for this year. What is it for next year? Top 50 by April, which I thought was amazingly confident to come out of that.
Yeah, he's got a level head in his shoulders, I think, and a steeliness about him, which he's just, I guess he didn't know that until he went on the big tour. So he's done us proud. He's done us absolutely proud, done the town proud.
I get the feeling he's a really down-to-earth guy. Would that be fair to say?
Certainly, my experience of him, that's right, and that actually comes across in these interviews, because he's very open. And I think that they love him in Sky. I mean, if you ever listen to the golf in Sky, there'll be the commentators. It'll be McIlroy, Rahm, Fleetwood, and here's Robert. They just love him, and it's because when they're interviewing him, he's very open. You know, that interview after he came off the course on Sunday, it was just typical. He was completely open. There's no side to him. I've seen a few interviews since he became Rookie of the Year, and everyone's the same. The only time I looked at him a wee bit uncomfortable, I seen him in an interview last night. I think it was Golf World, and it was a very attractive young lady that was interviewing him, and they looked a bit uncomfortable, I've got to say.
I'll tell you the other thing, Stevie. I think I mentioned last week my brother-in-law was over there visiting his daughter and was running the golf. And I don't quite know how to describe my brother-in-law, probably a big idiot is as close as it comes, but he followed Bob on the Friday, and a lot of golfers will not let people take their photograph and all the rest of it, and Big Ian shouted him over and said, oh Bob, how about a picture, and sent me the picture through. Bob quite happily came over, sent the picture, let him take the picture, and he didn't realise is my brother-in-law had the camera on selfie mode and actually took a picture of his own face. So
I was going to suggest maybe we could get the picture of Bob for the podcast.
I can give you the actual picture, which is not of Bob, it's the side of my brother-in-law's face, so I could send that through to you.
Perhaps the viewers would, listeners even, perhaps our listeners would like to email us at bobcast@owentimes.co.uk if you'd like to see that picture. I'm sure that can be arranged. Also seeing on social media, on the Open Times site, certainly a lot of people saying how well he's done, you know, fantastic, he'll go far, fantastic young man, onward and upward. Comments like that, really local people really getting involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's had a massive amount of support, and you don't normally, I mean, you know what social media is like, Stevie, normally you'll get somebody jumping on the bandwagon saying, aye, well, he's not all that, or he's not this. You don't get any of that. He's just, you know, he's just popular because he's so down to earth. So he's got a, you know, he'll do a lot of reassessing now, because, you know, to win Rookie of the Year, if you look at the names that have won Rookie of the Year, I mean, John Rahm, who's now third in the world and won the tournament on Sunday, he was Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. Brooks Koepka, who's world number one, was Rookie of the Year 5 years ago. So that's the kind of caliber of player that wins Rookie of the Year. But there have been a few who've won Rookie of the Year, and then that's been the highlight of their entire career. So he seems level-headed enough to go away, reassess, and make sure this isn't a flash in the pan. It'll be interesting to see how he manages his schedule over the coming month or two.
Aye. I mean, we spoke about that earlier. I don't know what his plans are to play the next immediate competitions. He made the comment he wanted to be in the top 50 by April, which would maybe suggest to me he'll be wanting to play as much as he can. But he's at a level now he can start to pick and choose. I mean, at the start of last season, I can't remember what it was an amazing schedule went through.
Oh, he played everything, didn't he? He played absolutely everything. So he will try and not have a wee burnout, I think, is the thing he's got to be wary of. So he'll probably enjoy an open Christmas, I would imagine.
Okay. Driver off the deck. Okay, I'm assuming that I've taken my car somewhere I shouldn't. Driver, get off the deck.
Driver off the deck, right, Stevie. A driver you use to drive, as your tee shot. Generally, it's your tee shot.
Is that one of those bat things you use?
It's a bat. You hit your bat off a tee, you tee the ball up on the tee, and that's your drive. You're not supposed to use that for your second shot. It's supposed to be teed up a driver. And if George and I tried to play a driver off the deck, I don't think we could hit it the length of this office. He hit it 300 yards straight to about 3 feet away. Yeah, it's just a shot that you never... His caddy was actually advising him not to play.
That's
the
right.
Shot.
Back
you have to be absolutely super talented or super daft to hit a driver without a tee. And, you know, to me, it was a shot of the year on the European Tour.
I mean, the comments say when he made it, you know, I think everybody was amazed that he even tried it, and it just showed the confidence he had, of course. And he did say, and a big part of him able to play that type of shot is his chinty, which he mentions quite a lot in his interviews, but that would have gave him the skill set, really, to have a good go at that ball. I mean, chinty players, if you ever watch them playing golf, for the most part, are really, really good. They just see it as a bit unfair that the ball's not moving at 100 miles an hour when they're hitting it, you know.
Well, I mean, maybe the reason he doesn't remember that shot is his shot of the year is because after playing that incredible shot to about 3 feet, he then missed the putt. So, but it was an eagle putt. He still got a birdie, and I'm not even going to explain that, Stevie.
I think I know what you're talking about now. George, temperature out there when he was playing, obviously a wee bit different from Open. What effect does that have on oh, I'm going to use a technical term, driving.
And, driving.
And the clubs and the ball and how far it goes or
well,
whatever.
Because, say, cold weather, or when it's cold, the air is, the density of the air is thicker.
This is really good technical stuff.
It slows the ball down, and conversely, when it's warmer, the ball will move faster off the club face, move faster through the air. It also bounces further. The rubber in the ball.
This is good.
The rubber in the ball. You know,
nobody Google this because I think he's making up as he goes along.
Who do you think I know this? The rubber in the ball reacts well to heat, makes it more resilient, and that makes for the ball to go longer. In fact, I believe when I was Googling this that you can actually buy things to warm up your balls, which I don't think I'll be taking my name into the golf course. But yeah, that's basically it. The warmer it is, and I noticed this actually going to when I was on holiday playing golf in Turkey. I thought
you were able to hit the ball 50 yards.
I thought I turned the corner here, but really, it was warmer weather, and the ball was moving. It was moving faster and going further.
And how's your own personal golf been this week, George?
I unfortunately didn't play this week. I was all ready to go on Sunday morning, and the very last thing before I left the house was bend down and put stuff in the dishwasher, and my back pinged, and that was it. That was a golf for me. I could hardly walk. Never even play golf. I might just be making that story up just not to take away from an achievement from a certain gentleman in the room.
Ask me that question again.
Keith, how's your golf been this weekend?
I'm glad you asked, Stevie. I don't want to boast too much, but I had my finest ever round of golf. For the first time in my life, I broke 70. Again, you're going to ask me what that means, Stevie. I shot a 1-under par 68 at my golf club at the weekend. So I wasn't going to bring it up. I didn't ask you to bring that up much. But it was great. It was great fun. And I've got to thank my playing partners who kept me calm, Gavin and Doogie, because I knew I needed a 4-up the last to break 70. And believe it or not, the way they managed to calm me down, we were having a completely stupid conversation about the impact that grime music had on UK culture. This was like three middle-aged white guys discussing Stormzy. I mean, my knowledge of rap stops at Vanilla Ice and what's his name, Will Smith. Talking complete, it's the beauty of golf, you're out talking complete nonsense. They kept me calm. I got a 3 out the last, had a 68, and I promised I wouldn't mention it on the podcast this week, and I lied. And so thanks for asking, Stevie.
Fine, it will remain in the edit. Well, I guess that kind of wraps it up for a wee while. I mean, we've discussed slightly what Bob's going to be doing. Any other insights? I'm assuming he'll be taking a wee bit of time off.
Well, he's an enforced break, even if he wanted to play or not. The next tournament was supposed to be in Hong Kong, and that was postponed because of obviously the problems that are going across in Hong Kong. What he does next, don't know. I'm sure he'll find out at the weekend.
I think he'll definitely be back for the tournament in Abu Dhabi, which I think it's the second week in January. But whether he'll play any warm-up events before that, I think the South African Open's a week before that, and I would imagine he wouldn't want, because that's quite a big trophy, the one in Abu Dhabi, or a big competition with quite a lot of world ranking points, so he probably will want to get a tournament under his belt before that, at least one, and I guess that'll be the South African Open. But whether he plays before Christmas, I don't know at this stage. Well, he deserves a break.
I'm sure we will find out shortly, and we'll be back with another podcast fairly soon. Guys, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers. You're welcome. Thanks, Steve. Cheers, Stephen.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you've got a golfing question or just want to get in touch for the next episode, then email bobcast@opentimes.co.uk or send us a message through Facebook.